Hi everybody, this is Foxy from Grapple Arcade on bbgwrestling.com, bringing you the second episode of the official For the Love of Wrestling Radio. Now I'm joined today by a legend of the sport, an absolute player. I reckon he's probably classed as one of the godfathers of old school wrestling merchandise, I think that's fair to say. You were at the original For the Love of Wrestling there, mate, with all of your wares, and a lot of our listeners might know you from Old School Wrestling page on Facebook there. So I'm joined by Mr. James Harvey.
Hello, mate. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Yeah, nice to be described. I suppose I am a bit of an OG now these days. Definitely.
the good thing is, I mean, with the internet the way it is and groups and pages popping up, there's lots of people into old school wrestling merchandise.
There is.
It's a huge following for it. There's a lot of collectors out there, lots of variations of collections, lots of subcultures of collections and stuff. And I think it's fair to say, from seeing your collection up close and personal, it's a sight to behold, man. It's awesome.
An obsession that very, very quickly got out of control, which is always nice. They're always the best collections. I know when we spoke last time, I think I explained to that. I actually got into it through gaming, which I'm sure we're going to come on to it on this podcast or another podcast. But yeah, it was actually retro gaming that got me into the wrestling collecting. Always been a big wrestling fan, and got into retro gaming collecting. Very quickly found that it was the wrestling items that were giving me the biggest buzz. So started collecting more wrestling items. As I say, it's snowballed from there. Wanted a couple of things here and there, and then it just became a little bit of a, I suppose, like everything, you start collecting everything and anything at the start, and then you start to perhaps go down a little bit of an alleyway and say, where you're getting the most buzz. For me, it's anything from that sort of golden era. So anything really that's WWF logo, that's for me where I get my biggest enjoyment. Obviously, the chairs as well. The chairs have become probably my biggest passion. Tracking down chairs from all the old pay-per-views. Recently managed to get my hands on the Holy Grail, which is the WrestleMania 10 chair. So
I saw that and a couple of others up for sale. I don't know if it was you who bought one of them or not, or did you buy one of them the other day?
No. The WrestleMania 10 chair, I think it was one of the other lads who's selling them, selling a few chairs at the moment. But no, the WrestleMania 10 one, the sort of about as rare as rocking horse shit, to be honest with you, mate. The WrestleMania 10 ones, and took me about 5 years to track one down. And then when I finally tracked one down, it was signed by Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, amongst others. So you couldn't get much better than that. Lex Luger's on there as well, and Bret Hart. Now, I'm toying, I don't know, this might be a crazy idea. I'm toying with the idea at the moment of removing everybody's signatures apart from Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramones. For me, I think that's probably the, having a WrestleMania 10 chair signed by just those two guys, for me, I think it'd be quite iconic. But then is it worth removing Lex's signature and stuff like that? I don't know.
It's an interesting one. Have you got any other merch signed by the guys that you would remove?
The only person Bret Hart's on there as well, and I've got all of Bret's original Figs Inc's belts signed, and WrestleMania.
WrestleMania boots as well, haven't you? One of his
boots. I have, yeah, and I've got WrestleMania 13 chair signed by him as well. So I just need to get Austin on there, and then that'll be that chair finished. I just picked up another chair, a SummerSlam chair recently as well, which was the one from the first TLC match. So obviously with Love of Wrestling coming up this year, I can get the Dudleys on there, and get Jeff Hardy on there. So then I need to work out, I'm going to go about getting the...
Edging Christian back again.
Yeah, you need Edging Christian and Matt Hardy back on there. And then that will be done as well. So yeah, it becomes sort of... start almost like a little bit of fun. You start to take a lot more interest in it as it goes on, as it gets bigger and brighter. But everyone's got to have a hobby, I suppose. Keeps me off the streets.
Completely understand it, mate. I mean, it's by no means as extensive as your own, but I've got somewhat of a collection myself of bits and bobs through the decades. And you're right, it's one of those things where you end up just kind of collecting a lot of different things, and you find sort of little pathways and trajectories that you end up falling down, and wormholes, and then reasons for collecting those bits, and then what you're going to do with them when you've got them, and who's going to sign it, and how they're going to sign it, what color they're going to sign it in.
Exactly. So, I mean, people go down to, you know, a lot of people start collecting wrestling stuff and really get into the figures or really get into the belts. I like the figures. I like the figures from certain from certain parts at certain moments, like the Bret Hart King of the Ring figure that came out, I think, last year. I quite like that figure. Or the Macho Man Slim Jim figure, which came out recently. I got myself a couple of them. But the figures didn't really tickle me pickle. Neither did the belts. I mean, I really the belts I obviously wanted was the Bret Hart trilogy, the original WWF plated ones, so I got them. But yeah, for some reason, the chair seems to be the thing that sort of I seem to get more of a buzz out of. And I think everybody does. When everybody starts collecting these, certain things start to really sort of resonate with them. Some guys collect pin badges and things like that. You know, it just depends on the individual and what they get a real kick out of.
Definitely, mate.
It's like everything, I think. And this is the probably funny thing with the WrestleMania 10 chair. Like, I think my all-time holy grail item was the WrestleMania 10 chair. So I'm sort of sat here now thinking, is it all downhill from here? Because the buzz for the last, you know, 5-10 years that I've been doing this, the buzz has always been trying to hunt down that, almost like that sort of Indiana Jones thing, hunting down that mythical item, which was the WrestleMania 10 chair. Now I've got one. I'm not sure what I'm going to do myself. Mm-hmm. Let's find something else to do.
Which is it, a white one by any chance?
It is.
Yeah. I know which one you mean. It's a beautiful piece, like, isn't it?
It is. It's got it's got obviously a little plaque on the front as well, which says, you know, where it was from, how many of those chairs were created, and all the rest. And it says like one of 500 on there. WrestleMania 10. All the rest of it. It's a really, 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 really swish item. I'm not going to say what I paid for it because my wife's in the same room as me now. She'll probably divorce me.
But it's, can you hear the papers being shuffled now?
Yeah, it's definitely the most expensive one-off item I've ever bought. Yeah, certainly.
Oh, it's a beautiful piece, man. Well, we obviously got you on the show, not just to talk about your incredible collection, because I think it's going to be a general sort of staple of you coming on anyway, really. We'll go down wormholes as and when. But I thought what we'd do is have a bit of fun, because obviously you're a staple. Well, you were at the first one, if we can call ourselves staples now, considering the second one hasn't happened yet. But we're en route to becoming staple features, wrestling.
Certainly say that we've attended 100% of the floor wrestling events.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to see ourselves as cousins or something of the event. What I thought we'd do is, because we were there last year, we saw what it was all about, we were blown away by it, we offered what we could offer. And they, in turn, were very grateful. And, you know, you've obviously been part of that family for a little while now. We're thankful to also be part of that and to be taking our gaming selection there and to be having chats with random people. It's all good fun. Now, one of the things that were there last year, which will be there again this year, is some pretty iconic sets.
Yeah.
And what I mean by sets for our listeners is your entranceways, your stages, special sets that you'd seen at wrestling events and shows. For example, Brutus Beefcake's the barbershop that was there. And it was there, and people taking a lot of photos there, and Brutus was cutting people's hair, and all sorts was going on there. It was great fun. And there's obviously going to be a lot more planned for this year, and we'll get onto that as the show goes on. But what we thought we'd do is we'd have a little look at what's been going on recently. I think it's no surprise that a lot of people had sort of mixed responses to the recent WrestleMania and the CGI-affected pre-shot. What's the word to use for them? I can't think of the...
You could call them the more movie-based wrestling shows.
Yes, the movie-based. Indeed. I mean, what before going to that, one of my favorite WrestleMania matches of all time was Roddy Piper versus Goldust.
Yes.
The Backlot Brawl. It's one of my favorites of all time. I absolutely love that match. I thought it had absolutely everything. One of the for me at that age when I watched it, it was one of the more hard hitting. I'd never seen, you know, what I suppose we would now class as more of a strong style, if you like. You'd seen occasional matches that were maybe a bit snug, but for me, that match was pretty snug, especially in the backlot part. You know, that car definitely hit him. some of those shots across the head definitely looked like they hurt. There was definitely blood drawn. Everything about that match, including the OJ chase, the the stripping down of stockings and suspenders, why not? It had everything. It was really good fun. It was a spectacle to watch. It was class.
It's one of those matches, that weird matches, that it seems to be very much Marmite, that match, because people seem to either love it or they hate it. Very similar to the Jake and Model Martel blindfold match.
Oh yeah,
which is another one, and I absolutely love that match. But yeah, I love the Battle Rock Ball. It was one that we use as an example about what are the best matches where neither person ever held the big belt in WWE, and that came out as an example as one of the best matches. It is a brilliant match. Yeah. And what did you think of WrestleMania overall?
I thought it was fairly deep. I enjoyed it for what it was, and I think that's all I could do really, because I think I try to avoid other people's opinions before I go into things, and I'm one of those people who I don't watch an awful lot of the TV product. I'll hold my hand up. I'm very much stuck, as I'm sure our listeners will know, I'm very much stuck in loop from like 1990 to sort of mid 1997, end of 1997. That's my time frame. I watched it during the sort of, you know, I'm a fan of the 80s WWF, but 1990, that turned specifically, if I'm going to be completely honest, 92 obviously up to about, I'd say, late 97. That's my area there. 93, 94, 95. I absolutely love New Generation.
Generation of stuff. Very much to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, yeah. The Diesel era, Yokozuna, yeah. Spark plug Bob Holly.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I loved everybody. Everything. Yoko and Owen is one of my favorite tag teams of all time that I don't think it gets enough love.
No.
Owen and Bulldog as well, obviously, but Yoko and Owen, I absolutely love them. Head Shrinkers, one of my favourite tag teams ever. I'm a big fan of your oddity, I am a fan of the oddities, but your oddball characters such as like Kwang, Hakushi, Shinobi, all the random little sort of one-offs that you get now and again as well. I absolutely loved all of that. I'm just a big, big fan of it, and I love going back and just smashing it to smithereens and watching it on loop.
When did the Sultan debut? The Sultan was like late 90s.
It was 96, I believe. 96. I think it was. It was around the same time as I think it was Rocky Maivia's debut match on a pay-per-view.
He was, yeah. That's the match I've got in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Sultan was great. Well, Rikishi, obviously, you know, we know him as Fatu. Then he became No Drugs Fatu. Say no to drugs. Gangster rapper Fatu, who didn't really do any gangster rapping but wore a sweet leather jacket.
That's it. All you need.
And then onto the Sultan before he became Rikishi, as we all know and love. But anyway, I digress, because the whole point of mentioning those matches is simply to bring about the fact of the WrestleMania match, the CGI, the movie matches that were at this recent WrestleMania. Now, I thought they were great fun. I thought they were what they were. I don't think any of them should be ever done again. Personally, I don't think, my honest opinion is, the Fiend, Bray Wyatt concept, you can't, I don't think that needs to be redone again with anybody else, because it'll lose its fun instantaneous what the hell was that appeal if you just do it again. I think it worked perfectly with John Cena because of his lineage and everything he's been. It doesn't need to happen again for me. They can do other things with other tight matches that don't, you know, it wasn't even a match, it was just a really interesting vignette, wasn't it? It was just good fun. And the Undertaker one, I'd love to see other variations of that. For example, we were chatting about it on the pod the other week, Stone Cold at his rancher in a bar, that could work a treat, or the Acolyte, or the APA in a bar, you know, whatever. You could do a lot of different interesting stuff. Rock at a Hollywood studio setup. Mm-hmm. Different things like that, where they use that filming concept, but in a different location. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't have to be a Boneyard match, but using that concept, definitely I'm up for that again. Overall, I thought WrestleMania was pretty damn good. I thought it was all right. I enjoyed more than I thought it would. I thought both nights was a really interesting concept to do it that way, and I thought they both offered something. Yeah.
Under the circumstances, I think they absolutely smashed it.
Yeah,
I think it was, it, 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 The easy thing to do would have been to not do it. Yeah. And I think to try and do anything, I thought showed real sort of conviction. I enjoyed it, like you say. I thought the Boneyard match. The Boneyard match was weird because I don't know if you've ever seen the film Wrestlers vs. Zombies, which is an absolutely terrible, terrible film.
But it shocking, isn't it?
I almost feel like it was filmed by the exact same man with the exact same camera, because it was the exact same quality, filmed in the same way with the same shots and the way they were sort of splitting between certain camera angles. It was almost like it had taken a scene from that film, and I couldn't get that out of my head the next day. But no, I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was, like you say, a couple of different slants. But overall, it was great. They kept the matches short and concise, because it was quite hard to watch those matches where matches could go outside the ring, like they did with the Seth and the KO one. They let them sort of go out the ring a little bit. Did the Edge and the Randy Orton one go on a little bit long? Yeah, perhaps it did. But I mean, they had time to play with, so why not? But overall, yeah, same as you. I thought, you know what? It's certainly for me in years to come won't be seen as one of the worst manias by any stretch of the imagination.
I agree. And you know what the thing is with the Edge and Orton one as well? I wonder if there was a crowd there with the pops for them both, if that would have been a lot more highly praised than it actually was. I appreciate it was slower. I think they had to be careful with Edge. I mean, it's his first match back from being off because of an injury, a career-ending injury. Like, do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where they probably had to be aware of that. What can you do? What can you do at the end of the day?
Well,
and I thought it was decent. I thought it was decent enough for what it was. But overall, good event.
Here's a question for you then. Mm-hmm. You think they could do, because it's pre-recorded in theory. Something like the Edge and Orton match, they could have actually added canned crowd noises to that match. Do you think that would have made it better or worse? Do you think that's something that they should try?
I think it would have been shit on too much, mate, if I'm going to be completely honest. I think people would have dumped on it from a large height if they'd have done that. So I think that would have... I think the response would have outweighed what positives it might have given, unfortunately. And I think people would have hammered them on it for being too hawky. I've heard a couple of other people suggest, what about the idea of playing theme music? Or like a backing, almost like playing a computer game where you've got a backing track behind, some music playing in the background there behind, like just to sort of, so there's no deadly silence. And I thought, it could work potentially, but then you've got to be very, very careful and selective about what music you pick, because, you know, if you pick something and then it doesn't sort of play in, if it doesn't work alongside, you know, the high spots, for example, if it's a sort of slow melodic piece that comes in just as somebody goes through a table, would it work? You know, it's an interesting concept. But I thought it was interesting. And I think what we've decided to do is from the concept of that is look at the idea of, right, what pay-per-view have they not done yet where they could take some of those elements and they could take anything they wanted to in terms of pre-record, they could select wrestlers past or present. And I thought a really interesting way to do it would be as if we were to pick wrestlers who have maybe been at For the Love of Wrestling or are going to be at For the Love of Wrestling, or even if we're going to be honest, wrestlers who we'd hopefully like to see one day at For the Love of Wrestling, just to tie it in there nicely. Pick a wrestler or pick a match, like two opponents. Then we thought the stipulation in the pay-per-view is going to be the WWE Warehouse. That's what it's going to be. The WWE Warehouse event, where every match on the card is going to be somehow linked and associated with the WWE Warehouse. And what we mean by the Warehouse is the big amazing lockup where they keep all the old props, all the old stages, the old rings, the old bits and bobs that are affiliated with certain gimmicks and matches through the years. It's all stored away in there. So the idea is, different guests that we get on, including James tonight, is going to select their match, and they're going to look at the idea of picking different props that they can use associated to that match. And then maybe if they want to, a different stage or a ring, it's completely up to the person as to what kind of match they want to run with and what kind of props they want to use, any stipulations that they want to add into there. James is going to be our guinea pig for this feature and see how it goes. I don't know if you... Do you want to go first? I mean, I've got one. I don't know if you want to go first, James, or...
I'll let you go first, and then you'll probably tell me how to best deliver it, and then we'll go from there.
We'll see. I'll probably be absolutely knacker it, but there we go. So my match would be an Undertaker gauntlet match.
Ooh.
And the way I'm going to do this is, can you remember the boiler room brawl?
I can.
Now, can you remember Undertaker walking through the boiler room, looking around him and waiting for the sneak attack from Mankind? And he wasn't quite sure where he was going to come from next and what was
going to
happen. That whole concept. So the idea is, Undertaker is going to be walking through the warehouse. It's going to be a bit dark, a bit smoky, a bit foggy. And there's going to be random caskets placed strategically around different areas of the warehouse. These caskets have all got different wrestlers in that he's buried in the past.
Nice, nice.
Whether or not we can get away, how fantasy can we go with this? It is CGI, I suppose, so we can go all the way fantasy as far as I'm concerned.
Go wild in the aisles, definitely.
Yeah, we can go all the way out, so wrestlers who are no longer with us can definitely be included in this concept going forward. I've made the rule now. We can use wrestlers who have who've literally rested in peace. So he's going to be walking through. He's going to see a casket to his left. Who is it? It's a gold casket. It can only mean one person if it's a gold casket. And then he's going to see another person, another casket on the right-hand side. He's going to see another one on the left-hand side, but he doesn't know who's going to be popping out of each casket. So they're going to be like sneak attacks at different points. He's going to work his way through all the different caskets as a gauntlet-style match until he meets Yokozuna at the very end.
Mm.
That's the concept of the match. Now, will there be druids? Yeah. There'll be a few druids. Paul Bearer will make an appearance. Kane obviously has to make an appearance, but I think Kane's going to make an appearance and on the side of the Undertaker to help him out because, you know, it's going to be about 20 on one different parts of this. There'll be a few jobbers coming out with the old school body bags as well. Barry Horowitz will definitely, Barry Horowitz will definitely be there making an appearance. Good old Barry, good old backslapper. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to go with. So number one on our card of warehouse matches is going to be the Undertaker Gauntlet match where he goes through all the different caskets and has to defeat each person who pops out of said casket.
It's a great opener.
It's an interesting opener, isn't it?
If that's the dark match.
It's going to be on the pre-show, that one. Right, mate. What about yourself? Have you got an idea that you'd like to present to the table for the warehouse review?
I thought mine was a bit bonkers, but it seems completely sane now after I've listened to your idea, which is great. So, this problem probably allows a little bit of imagination. So, I've gone with somebody who has been a guest of Monopoly events in the last year. So, mine is going to be, well, I'll explain who the competitor's going to be. So, it's going to be Bray Wyatt. In one corner, and versus, and then I've gone for a dream Monopoly events guest moving forward, which will be Bray Wyatt in one corner versus Jake the Snake.
Ooh.
In the other corner. So the promos themselves, we'll imagine, will sell this particular match. And by the way, shout out to Jake the Snake. Just watching he did a promo on AEW last week, and I just sat there and I just thought, do you know what? I mean, he's still. And then I started doing my normal nosy thing, which was having a look on Wikipedia, and I realised that he'd been in the industry now 45 years this year. I think it was like 1975 he debuted. I was like, you're still the best promo guy in the business, like 45 years later. And I am literally at the moment tuning into AEW just to watch Jake the Snake. So yes, good booking that, I think, for fans. So yeah, Bray Wyatt versus Jake the Snake. It's going to be a funhouse snake pit match. A funhouse snake pit match. How this is going to work is it's a no rules anything goes match. However, it's in the style of the old lumberjack matches. If you remember the old lumberjack matches,
indeed.
Now, rather than have other wrestlers around the ring, there's going to be funhouse puppets, or venomous snakes. it's a fireflies. Funhouse snake pit match, Jake the Snake versus Bray Wyatt, with puppets and venomous snakes around the edge of the ring, should you be tossed out.
Bloody hell. That is oh man, I really want to see that. Yeah. I think we've created a really good idea here with this warehouse pay-per-view. That is going to be amazing.
Make the special guest referee Alex Cooper for that one, just for no apparent reason other than that he's cool as hell.
Yeah, no, damn right. But I also think as well, you know, as well as having Venomous Snakes, I think it's only fair if we bring CGI versions of Damien, Revelations, and Lucifer.
Yeah, definitely.
Rise, you know, to get his three staple, you know, his three staple Quake, snakes.
Quake burgers knocking about in the corner. Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't go, oh God, you've got to occasionally just for the sake of watching big guys like Andre, you know, completely knacker his pants. I'll never forget the first time. There was when I saw Andre's face when he saw Jake. When he did the whole falls back and gets caught in the ropes thing, and Jake comes out with puts the python in the ring. Andre's selling of that is one of the best I've ever seen somebody sell a snake.
Well, apparently, reading up on this, apparently there was no selling involved in that. Apparently, Andre was he was genuinely petrified of snakes.
Well, he's a good sport, then, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, bloody hell. I think that's an absolutely cracking one. And as a little segue to that, actually, we've just uploaded part two of our interview with Sam Houston, who is Jake. He's obviously, you know, illustrious wrestler from the 1980s, Sam Houston. He's one of Jake Roberts' half brother, actually, because he's Rockin' Roberts' sister. And his dad's Grizzly, as you do, you know. Got a lot to answer for, Mr. Grizzly Smith.
He has indeed. A lot to answer for.
I think the idea of just seeing Jake back on TV. Segging a little way from your match there, which is honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect from people's submissions, shall we say. I'll read a couple of our Twitter submissions out, and Facebook submissions out that a few people have said, but I think yours there has set the standard because I think that's absolutely bloody brilliant. What have we got here? We've got I'll read a couple of them out. 2020 HBK versus a 2020 Scott Hall in an Ultimate Ladder match. They have to create. So basically, Scott Hall as he is today versus HBK as he is today in an Ultimate Ladder match where they have to create a pyramid of ladders to reach the IC title at the top.
Jesus.
I quite like that. It's very dangerous given the health, you know, factors of potentially both wrestlers there. But you never know. We had Scott Hall here last year for the love of wrestling. We've got HBK coming this year. I think, you know, you never know. In a year's time, we can get them both together again to do a pyramid of ladder matches.
A few more DDP yoga sessions. You'll be right about ladder. Yeah, bomb in the world.
Absolutely sorted. Who we've got here? Dijakovic. Is that how you pronounce his name? Dijakovic, the
NXT guy.
Dijakovic versus Nakamura in a write your own name on Strike or Matt Striker's blackboard match. Excellent, nice. I see what you've done there. Well done. Who was that? I need to find out who that was. Cracking. So I think the idea of the warehouse concept going forward is that we're going to eventually create a full pay per view. Worth of matches, and then let people vote on matches and etc. to see which match they want at the top of the card, etc. And then maybe even somehow see if we can cobble together a way of being able to do it on a wrestling computer game or something like that.
That'd be good.
there might be some way of being able to do it and stream it, or maybe just write to Vince himself and say, get it booked, Vince. By the way, did you see Vince on TV this past week?
I didn't. What's he been up to?
It was interesting. It was very interesting. Obviously, there's been a lot going on. I think we need to mention what's been going on in the last couple of weeks' worth of wrestling. An absolute legend of the game being Mr. Howard Finkel, unfortunately passed away.
Yeah, indeed.
The pleasure of meeting I think at another convention about a decade ago now, I think it was. Top man.
There was a great story that came out of that by Vicky Guerrero, which she said that when Eddie passed, that Howard Finkel actually rode in the airplane with Eddie and flew all the way back to Vicky with the casket, because he didn't want Eddie to be on his own. And I just thought, if there's ever a story that sort of really, really synonymises what a guy Howard Finkel was, I thought that was it.
He was absolutely incredible. What that particular story alone is just so heartwarming, isn't it?
And it is.
Wraps up exactly the kind of character that the Fink is. My experience was nothing but a pleasure. Me and my brother went up to meet him, and Fink was chatting to a young lady there in a sort of early 20s, just having a bit natter with her. And my brother cottoned onto her accent and started chatting to her. Then they realised that they were both... they went to the same university.
Okay. And
both currently, you know, at the same university at the time, up in Sunderland. And so they started chatting away, and Howard looks at them both, looks at me, looks at them two again, who were paying no attention to him whatsoever by this point. And he looked at me and goes, "Story of my life, he gets the girl." And he said, "Would you like his signature?" So he signed to me from Howard Finkel, then again to me from Howard Finkel. I thought it was absolutely just little nuances like that. Just such a mint character. Just so heartwarming. It was such a shame. And obviously in other wrestling news as well, there's been a lot of cuts in talent at WWE based on current circumstances. There's been a lot of wrestlers, unfortunately, let go from their contracts. And I know it's a shame to a lot of people. And I know, to a lot of people as well, every year there's cuts to the roster. They do have what's effectively known as a bit of a spring clearance, you know?
There is. It's a business at the end of the day.
Of course.
Some of them have been asking for the release for quite some time, to be fair.
It's true.
It's
one of those ones where you feel sorry for the ones who obviously don't want to go, and the ones who it's time to go for. But I feel that every year. I feel sorry for anybody who's in that situation when people are released from the contract. You just think, well, it's a shame to see. There's a couple of surprises on the list, I suppose. There's a situation at the moment where people are starting to think, though, with the likes of Drake Maverick, for example, is it a storyline? It's very interesting with what's going on at the moment. With Vince himself, Vince came out on, I think it was SmackDown, and they were doing a homage to is it 25 years of Triple H? I think it was
25 years.
And Vince came out at the end of that show, and spoilers, giving a spoiler alert right now for anybody for the next 30 seconds if you want to sort of fast forward or not. But to be fair, it'll be Thursday by the time this goes up, so you've had a week. Vince comes out while Triple H and Shawn are in the ring there chatting away, and he comes out and he seems, what's the best way to describe Vince? He seems like he's had a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to say it. And it is, in fairness, he has. With there's been a lot going on. There's been certain documentaries out there. There's been the XFL situation.
Exactly.
There's been the cuts to roster. There's been the fallout from that. There's been, people such as the Fink, who I'm sure Vince sees as a member of the WWF family until the very end, WWE family until the very end, has passed away. It's been a turbulent couple of weeks for anybody, regardless of who they are, regardless of where we put Vince on the ladder of things, or where he puts himself on the ladder of things in the wrestling universe. This kind of stuff affects people. And he came out, and I think some people were saying, he looked like he was just slightly... He wasn't Vince. He was, slightly rambling in some people's opinions. And then I thought, but you can never tell with Vince whether it's part and parcel of his delivery with what he wants you to think, whether he's capitalizing on this. You never know, just because he's such a master of the game. And at the end of this speech, he said to Triple H, "Yeah, I love you." And Triple H said, "I love you back." And that was kind of it. And he said, "Now wrap it up, because you've been stinking the show up for long enough," and then just walked off and then turned the lights out on them. it was an interesting situation. But yeah, an interesting couple of weeks in the world of wrestling, to say the very least.
Although it's interesting when we see people like Rusev. Rusev, for me, out of everybody on that list, was the big surprise. Now, I think Rusev being released is because he's asked to be released.
Yes.
I don't think they would have. He's the one for me that stood out as the one that I thought, I don't think they would want to let him go. But again, what have they been doing with him? You've got people like him. Cesaro as well. I think for a long time now, they just deserve a lot better than what they're getting.
Do indeed. I think it's one of those things where they've hit certain peaks. Would you like, you know, the sort of IC title level sort of peaks, if you like, US title peaks. And then haven't really got further than that, and then dropped back down the card again, pushed the way back up, maybe in tag teams and things, or dropped back down again. And you can tell why. I can understand the frustration in you know, that would come from the likes of those guys. And then you've got other guys, such as whether he is or isn't there. He was announced at least as being one of the people cut from the roster, being Drake Maverick. And I appreciate there's a lot going on with his segments at the moment as to what that actually means. And it's, I'll tell you what, if it is an angle, it's a very brave one to make.
It certainly is.
Like, I mean, I wouldn't like to roll that dice and see how many friends I've got left afterwards.
WWE have done this before, you know. They saw what they did with the Sergeant Slaughter angle. I mean, they're no strangers to jumping into brave territory.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's been an interesting one. And likewise, like the guy, guys like Zack Ryder, I appreciate he just hasn't been on TV doing very much for quite a while now, since the IC title sort of night one night, if you like. But he does a hell of a lot of. He's very, very. Out and about on social media, and on
he's
YouTube.
Very positive on social media, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a great. He's, you know, gets, you know, mixed reports from different people. You know, that's up to them. I can't say anything more than positive things for him. When we did our we did a tournament on Twitter the end of last year. We did we were big sort of figure guys, and we were into our customizing and things like that. And we did a big Hasbro. Wrestling, you know, the early 90s Hasbro wrestling figure, a custom competition where we went into our boxes of parts and things like that and found, I think in total we went with 8 really beat up Hasbro customs, you know, knackered bits aren't of any value or use to anybody for their collections and such. So they're usually used as custom fodder, bits for making other figures and things like that, you know, take parts off, glue parts on, etc. And we announced it, and we ended up getting a lot of entries of people showing an interest. And so we managed to eventually pull 8 names of 8 customizers, if you like, out of a hat. And we posted to one of these figures to each of these customizers around the world. Mm. And the idea was that they would make the figure, and there'd be a prize pot at the end, and then we'd have a King of the Ring tournament out of the figures, and it would be okay. We had a panel of judges, including guys who were in charge of wrestling figure manufacturing companies, such as the guys who are currently making the Lucha Legends of Lucha Libre line, and also figure toy company as well. They're doing a lot of figures, wrestling figures as well. We had the guys who were the heads of those, so. And other people as judges, so they would vote on who goes through to the next round and so on, until the end we had a winner. But the idea was that every figure that got made, the people who made the figure would then sell that custom on eBay or wherever else, and all the money that we made would collectively all go to charity.
Oh, good stuff.
That was the concept behind it all. And then the winner would ultimately get a prize pot of random bits from my collection of random stuff through the years. And people were very kind, donate a few bits and bobs, including Zack Ryder, who donated some signed merch.
Oh, very nice.
It was very, very nice of him. So, I'm appreciate, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, because not everybody's into figures or into merchandise or whatever. But honestly, man, the idea that he went out of his way to post from the US to us some merchandise, some signed bits and bobs for the competition was spot on, really. And we didn't expect that kind of thing. So as you say, he's very positive on social media. He does a hell of a lot of stuff regarding figure hunts and things on YouTube. His YouTube channel is fantastic. So even though he's not necessarily a major player on TV, I was surprised at getting rid of somebody like Zach, because I thought he brought a lot to an area that they don't dip into very often. You know,
no, do you know, even if it is just things like social media training, because whether we're talking about wrestlers or footballers or anybody else who happens to be in the media, social media training is something that a lot of people don't invest a lot of time and money in these days where they need to, because this is where a lot of people come unstuck. God, footballers, it doesn't seem to be a day goes by without a footballer making a balls up on Twitter or Facebook. And social media training in a whole is something that wrestlers have got to start going through. And I think Zack Ryder was the perfect person to sort of get that off the ground.
He was, and not just that, he's got a big following of not necessarily WWE watchers.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who will click on links that he puts up that will take them to other WWE-related branding. So he's getting eyes on their product regardless. He's showcasing all of the figures. He's getting a lot of people. Now, if he, for example, goes to a different company and starts highlighting their figures, I'm not saying it's going to take all the straight away from WWE, obviously, but he will have a core of people who are very supportive of him and whatever he does. And they will move with him, whatever he goes on to do. So, you know, it is what it is, and it's been interesting to see what happens. But it's one of those things, I suppose, one of the higher unfortunate, disappointing elements of the last couple of weeks as well is the fact that we weren't at For the Love of Wrestling. But that said and done, we will get For the Love of Wrestling at the end of October and at the beginning of November.
Well, I was trying to put this as a bit of a positive, is if Love of Wrestling had gone ahead when it was meant to have gone ahead, it all would have been done and dusted by now.
That's it.
And we would have had nothing to look forward to. So looking at this positive term, we've still got it to look forward to.
Indeed. And with that comes all sorts of different situations. Think to it. Like Jason was on the podcast the other week and he was like, look, who knows what's going to happen with people now, people's availability between now and then.
Of course.
He knows that, you know, the vast majority, they've announced that, you know, the couple of people who can't make it, that's already out there in the open. And pretty much everybody else, as far as they're aware, is still said, yeah, we're good to go. You know, awesome.
We could possibly get Ken Shamrock back, which will be a huge add, because Ken Shamrock was a very, very popular guest.
He was, indeed. And you never know. Another thing that me and Jason were chatting about as well is the fact that somebody wasn't able to come in the name of Terry Funk this time around because of a potential opportunity. He was going to go and surgery for an operation, and that would be a name that they put up there and sort of get some feelers out about. So you never know, names like that where they'd maybe reached out to, but who knows? We'll have to sort of you know, watch this space and see what happens, because there's a lot of potential, and that's the beauty of the fact that we've got a few months to play with now. You never know who's going to be available or who might be interested, and there's lots of interesting posts that the team are putting up there, and lots of interesting carrots that are being dangled with certain wrestlers' names. But it's something that we're obviously highly looking forward to.
Of course.
And linked to that as well, just to sort of link it into what we were talking about sets there, James. We know that, for example, linked a bit to the name that you mentioned from Bray Wyatt and the Funhouse, the Firefly Funhouse is something that we're looking to be getting.
So that's one of the announced props this year.
Yes,
that's been announced. That had to happen this year, and I'm so glad that Andy's jumped on that to make sure that's happening for people. It was the most requested prop build for this year by some way. So I'm glad Andy's always said sort of he does it by the fans for the fans, and this is a perfect example of where he's listened to what's been said. We want the Firefly Funhouse, so it's happening, which is fantastic.
I can't get over it, to be quite honest with you. I think it's going to be very interesting. And honestly, man, if we thought cosplay was something to behold last year, man, I can't wait to see how many different variations of the Fiend turn up this year.
There's going to be quite a few, isn't there?
There's going to be tons, man. There's going to be tons. And I want to see how many people are carrying heads. And, oh, man, there could be a cosplay competition just based on that alone, because there's so many.
How many variations of The Fiend and John Cena are we going to see from that WrestleMania match? That WrestleMania promo, Vignette stroke, match stroke. What the hell did I just see?
Yeah. John Cena and NWO clobber.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Damn right, man. Shockmaster set. That's going to be a beauty.
I mean,
with the Uncle Fred's going to be there, obviously. Man.
I mean, that's Fred. I mean, have you ever had the pleasure of meeting Fred?
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Fred yet, no. And it's somebody I've had a bit of chat with now and again about comic books and things like that. But we've never, ever had the opportunity to meet him yet. And I can't wait.
I met him actually at a Hulk Hogan event in Sheffield probably about five years ago. And Fred was one of the guests there. Funny enough, Lanny Poffo was one of the other guests there, and Bushwhacker Luke, amongst others.
Ah, oh, lovely.
He's an absolute man mountain of a guy. I'm 6'3", but he absolutely towers above me. But he's just such a lovely, gentle guy who's just got time for everybody. And he really is a lovely guy. I think people are very similar to the way that I think people came away with feeling about Hacksaw Jim Duggan last year. They were just blown away by just how approachable and friendly and nice he was. I think Fred will do that in spades next year because he's just naturally a very, very lovely man. So I can't wait for that.
I can't wait to see his Q&A, to be honest with you, because I've got several questions for him. I was lucky enough to be somebody who used to chat with John Tenter back in the day when he used to be on the WrestleCrap forums.
Yes, yeah.
He used to do the live chats on there and stuff with Andrew. Is it Andrew Reynolds? I think it is. I can't remember his name now. R.D. Reynolds? I can't remember.
R.D. Reynolds, I think it was. Yeah,
R.D. Reynolds, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I know that when they used to do that, I used to get on there quite a bit and I used to have a bit of chat with him. Anytime he went on, I was so like just chuffed to be able to chat with him. He's one of the first wrestlers I'd ever spoken to, you know. And it was great, and had a good chat with him about the idea of him coming to do another tour around Europe. That was his plan. And then he was going to do a big sort of year-long, six-month-long tour, apparently, he was saying. But unfortunately, obviously, you know, health got the better of him at the time. Mm. And I've got so many questions to ask about, you know, the disasters in general, not just Tugboat, but I was a big Disasters fan. I'm a massive, massive Tenter fan and a massive Tugboat fan, or Typhoon, Ottman fan, whatever. I love them both to death, so I can't wait to have a good natter with Fred, man. He's going to be here. But the idea of, again, cosplay, how many people are going to be coming in Stormtrooper spray paint, silver helmets?
Stormtrooper helmets, little red and yellow, red and white vest. It all goes on. Cosplay could be on another scale this year, which is good as well.
It really, really will be. There's a Raw announce table, which I think is going to be really cool. There's going to be a Spanish announce table, which I think is going to be even cooler. In my personal opinion, I can't wait. I really hope that they finish the Sunday by somebody getting put through it.
Well, there's the Spanish announce table will already be broken.
Brilliant.
But then there's the Raw announce table, which won't be broken. So I'm sure we've also got obviously the live wrestling on the Saturday night. Now, how they're going to make use of the prop build, who knows? But going on last year, we know the wrestlers ended up in the barbershop fighting last year.
Yeah, that's right.
And everything else. So God knows where they could end up this year.
God, I had to pack all my machines away and everything because I knew what was going to happen. So everything had to get put away. I'll have to do it again. Obviously, there's going to be entrance ways. There's, you know, Jason mentioned there's going to be the possibility, depending if they can pull it off in time, regarding the potential of a blue cage. We'll see what happens with that. There's just so many different avenues to go down. It's just going to be so much fun.
It is, and I'm hoping they pull out a few more yet. There's a lot of King of the Ring winners there this year, so I'd like to see the King of the Ring prop build at some stage. So you've got Kurt Angle, you've obviously got, who else have you got? You've got Ted DiBiase, you've got Ken Shamrock, if you can get him. I think he was a King of the Ring winner 1 year as well, and there was somebody else, and I can't remember who it was, but I think there's more King of the Ring, and obviously, so yeah, this year seems to be, Tito Santana, he was King of the Ring winner as well, so yeah, hopefully we can get King of the Ring prop build together as well.
That'd be incredible. I think on top of that, we've got an absolute shed load of ECW originals as well there as well.
That's right.
It's cool. We've got obviously the Dudleys with Ray, Bubba Ray and Devon, and Raven's going to be there as well. There's rumours that Sabu is apparently kicking about doing some stuff in the local vicinity. And on top of that, you never know if he's fitting well. Exactly, Mr. Terry Funk might. So, man, there's so much joy to be had there.
It's great this year. You've got ECW fans have got something going on. You've obviously got for the new AEW fans, having Kenny come over as well is absolutely huge. There's some Golden Era stuff. It's so tag team wonderfully heavy as well, which is brilliant. There's something for everybody. And then, even just stuff like you've got the lovely Torrie Wilson and Trish Stratus coming over and Candice Michelle as well. So it's just brilliant. It's just such a brilliant lineup.
I really want to get a photo shoot with Earl and Sean. And I'll be, i.e. me being Brett. That'd be quite fun.
Do you know what?
I bet it definitely wouldn't happen.
I bet you there's a few people who will cosplay thinking of getting that exact picture.
There's got to be, man. There's got to be. I think as well, though, if there's any Survivor Series merch out there that people want to get signed, maybe we've already got Brett's signature maybe last year. Mm. Now's your opportunity to get the full screw job, the Montreal screw job.
Of course.
Signatures, man. Now's the chance. But yeah, man, it's that time of the night, I'm afraid, where we're unfortunately going to be having to wrap this one up. I'll give a quick shout out to, for the love of wrestling, where you can contact, how you can get in touch with those guys, how you can find out more about exactly who's on, and where to get tickets from. So if you go to Twitter, FTLO Wrestling, on Facebook, it's FTLO Wrestling UK. And obviously if you go to fortheloveofwrestling.co.uk. James, my man, where can people find out about old school wrestling?
Just jump onto that good old Facebook, stick in old school wrestling, and you'll soon come across us. Our picture is the one with the warrior. Or if you jump onto our page, we've got obviously a load of the old school wrestlers there, Sting, Flair, etc. If you've not experienced old school wrestling before, come on, it's just fun. Anything that we find remotely humorous, we'll post on there. We don't take wrestling serious. We're very much of the golden era sort of attitude of just everything that can be made fun of will be made fun of.
Brilliant stuff. And like always, feel free to go and check out some of our other interviews and our other bits and bobs that we're doing on the show at bbgwrestling.com, on Twitter at bbgwrestling. We've just uploaded part two of our interview with Sam Houston this afternoon. Lanny Poffo was last week, along with part one of Sam Houston. We've also, we've got all sorts on there. Savio Vega, Ahmed Johnson, Sid, Kevin Sullivan. There's all sorts of interviews on there for you to go and check out. We've got a couple of interesting ones coming up soon that we cannot wait to do, especially linked to our tournament setup that we do on our Nation of Isolation podcast. So, yeah, it's going to be really fun, some of the guests that we've got planned coming on there soon. So stay tuned, everybody, and we'll catch you all soon. Take it easy.